Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you do go before us and prepare the way for us. Lord, the things that come our way are your preparation. When the hard things happen, Lord, we fall on our face before you and ask for the strength to continue on. When times are good, we praise your name. O Lord, that we may praise you always through good times and through bad times, because we know that you have a plan and purpose for our lives. We don't know what it is, but we trust in you. You are indeed our strong tower, that when trouble comes, we can just run in and hide ourselves under the shadow of your wings. Father, I pray that as we look into your word today, that you would open our hearts, that you would pour out your spirit upon us, fill us to overflowing, Lord, that we may do those things that you have commanded us to do, and that is to love one another. So, Father, I pray that we would do that, not with our strength and not with our emotions, but, Lord, with your spirit. That is our prayer. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let us turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5. We'll be picking it up, I think it was 19. Paul has been given Timothy some direction on what it is that he needed to do to keep order in the church. Now, everything must be done decently and in order. We have, you know, here we've provided a way. We have a time of worship. We have a time of teaching. We have a time of fellowship. We have a time of prayer. And all of these things are done decently in order, because this is the way that the Lord does things. There is a rhyme and a reason to everything that the Lord does. We don't necessarily understand it. Some of the things that we read in the scripture just kind of like fly over our heads. Lord, what it is that you're talking about? You know, I just don't get it. But Paul here is really reiterating what Jesus said to his disciples. You remember at the Last Supper in the Gospel of John, they partook of the communion, they partook of the foot washings, and then the Lord says, come, let us go. And he gave us a 3-chapter discourse of the time when they left the upper room to the time that they got to Gethsemane. When they got to Gethsemane, then we see that chapter 17 is where he has his high priestly prayer that he prays for us. He prayed for you directly through the testimony of the disciples, those that shall believe on the testimony of them because of what they have seen and what they have done. And that's really our call to arms. A lot of people think that, you know, well, our marching orders were done when the Lord was ascended. No, the Lord gave us our marching orders long before that. And what we really need to do is to look into those things, in which we will do today. So he says to Timothy, he says, hey, don't rebuke an elder. You know, treat him as a father. Treat the women, the older women, as mothers, and the younger women as sisters and brothers. In other words, love one another. Now, if we could just hold our finger here, perhaps we need just a little bit of a refresher. So let's go to the Gospel of John and read a little portion from that. Won't spend a lot of time there, but we're going to be looking at chapter 15 of the Gospel of John. And let's see, it's kind of hard to pick these things out here. All right, about verse 9. And I want you to notice how many times Jesus uses the word love. Need a Bible? No? Okay. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now this is a command. Continue in his love. Not in your own love, not in your own emotions, not in what you understand. This is John 15. But continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. So he was showing us, hey, he abided in the commandments. He kept the commandments. Now we think of keep, you know, and I've gone over this before. We think of keep as, hey, you know, here's a list of things that I have to do. No. You keep the things in your heart. You reiterate them. You go over and over the instruction sets. When you're going in for a test, what do? All of the things that you studied the night before, you go over them in your mind. You're keeping them in the forefront of your mind so that when the questions comes, you'll know the exact answer that you're supposed to put down. In 1814, what happened with Colonel Jackson? Those kind of a things. But when we're going through our lives, we need to keep the commandments in front of us. Love the Lord with all your heart. Don't put any false idols, graven images. Don't lie, cheat, steal. All of these things, these need to be going through our minds so that we know what it is that we're not supposed to do. And when we do those things that we're not supposed to do, there was a remedy for that. Those were the sacrifices. I'm fascinated to see that in the Gospels, nowhere does Jesus ever go and make a sacrifice for sin. Nowhere. Why? Because he kept them. And he's telling us here, I have kept all of my Father's commandments, and I want you to keep my commandments too. So, great. And what's the commandment? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. So, to continue in his love, you have to keep his commandments. These things I have spoken unto you, verse 11, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And how did he love us? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends, if ye do whatever I command you. Pretty simple. You do what the Lord commands, and you're going to be his friend. You are his friend because you're doing those things. Now, we sing these our songs. We sing, hey, the Lord has set us free. The Lord has broken the chains. He's taken off the yoke of bondage. But really, what does that mean? Does it mean that, hey, that we're we can do whatever it is that we want to do? No. We are free to not sin. That's what we're set free from. You see, before this, when we were in the world, we had no ability not to sin. In fact, we didn't even realize that we were sinning. We were just going along our merry way. Well, this is life. But yet, it's in rebellion against God. And then when Jesus Christ came, he set us free and gave us the power to become the sons of God. See, the commandments in themselves, they don't have any remedy. There's no remedy for it. There's only things that you need to do. When Jesus Christ came, he sent the Spirit, which is the power to become the sons of God. That's why we need to be filled with the Spirit. If we're not filled with the Spirit, we're never going to be able to keep this commandment. We cannot love everybody. In fact, there are people that I don't even like. In fact, there are people that I despise. Anybody with me on this? Am I the only one? You see, and it's so easy. Now we have this electronic media that bombards us with all manner of things that we can hate. All manner of things that distract us from what it is that we're supposed to be doing. The command is that you love one another. Oh, does that mean that this thing that they call sloppy agape? Where, everything is going to be fine. No, there are rules and regulations. There are things that we have to look at. We have to have that fellowship with the Lord to be able to see what that love looks like. Now, Jesus puts it down there pretty plainly. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That's a great love. You see that on especially if you go to a military cemetery or something like that. You can see it. It says it right there. I mean, the sentiment is there. Greater love hath no man than this, that one gives this life for someone else. And that's what we are to do. We are to be servants one to another. That's giving your life for somebody else. How do we be servants? Well, we see somebody that's having a struggle. The first thing, the very first thing that we need to do is to lift them up in prayer. Hold them high before the Father. Lord, I see Joe is struggling. He's having a problem here. Lord, I don't know what it is that I'm supposed to do, but I'm going to lift him up to you right now until you give me some direction what I should physically do for him, if anything. And sometimes the Lord's, Joe's, he's, you keep lifting him up, but I've got him. I'm going to take care of him. And the Lord's going to give you a peace about it. And he's going to give you directions should he want you to intervene or come by in comfort. Unlike Job's three friends, maybe they should have listened to the Lord a little better, but that was there for our learning. And sometimes, because we have resources, we think that, oh, we should just rush in there and try to throw money at it to take care of the situation, when it's not that at all. It could be a lifestyle kind of a thing or whatever. But the Lord is going to deal with it, and he'll put it on our hearts, those things that he would have us to do. So we need to have that fellowship with the Lord. We need to have it constantly, especially me on the freeways. I need that constantly. I find myself praying more and more and more, oh, Lord, please don't let me react to the things that are happening to these bozos, to these people, these ones that you love on the freeway. Because I don't think that they're ready to meet you just right now because of the way that they're driving it. No, okay, I digress. They're not that perfect, you know, witness. As anyway, but we know that, hey, we are here to serve one another. We come to fellowship to serve one another, to pray for one another, to give of our lives and invest it in others. So henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Now this really this is super to me. He calls us friends, not servants. We are his friends because he has told us, okay? He has told us what things he's going to do. What's he going to do? He's going to send the power of God. He's going to send us the Holy Spirit so that we can do these things that he has commanded us to do. Now, a good definition of love can be found, you probably already know where it is, right? 1 Corinthians 13. Let's turn there. Now, we've gotten the command that we're supposed to love, so let's see what love looks like. Paul goes through that. Oops. And in chapter 13, he was talking about what it looks like. And he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity. All right, I'm going to substitute that for a second. If your King James says charity, I'm going to put it in love. Because the word there is agape, which means love. But because of the antiquity of the language, it says charity, which, you know, is probably a more descriptive term. Charity, what do you think of when you think of charity? Giving, right? I mean, we don't have any Volunteers of America love, do we? No, they're called charities because people give so that others may receive. And that's what charity is. The definition, the Lord gave so that we could receive. The Lord gave up his deity to come down here to give us life. Hey, simple. It's a simple transition. And though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now what he's saying here is that all of the works that you can muster up with your feelings and your intellect are worthless. They are worthless. Though you give your body to be burned for a cause, it is worthless. It doesn't afford you anything. What it is the Holy Spirit directing these things, giving you the unction to do. As you submit yourself to the power and authority of the Lord, he directs you. This morning, I sat before my closet. And did you know that this is what the Lord told me that I should wear? I asked him, Lord, what should I wear today? He says, pick the blue one. Which blue one? Oh, that blue one. I mean, I took the time to ask him. That's why I was in the bedroom so long, dear. Sorry. Well, you weren't late, though. And I asked him, Lord, what would you have me to wear? Why? And I didn't ask him why. I just said, what would you like me? Just, you know, me, I'd just grab something and go. But I took the time to ask him. He wants to be that intimately involved in our lives so that he can guide us and direct us. It could be, you guys are used to seeing me in Hawaiian shirts, but maybe later on I'll run into somebody and say, why are you dressed so festive? Well, we just came from celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Really? What's that all about? You see the in words there? See, now I've got something to talk about. I can share my faith. They've asked. They asked for the hope that lies within me. It constituted a shirt that the Lord told me to put on, but nevertheless, there it is. He is in control. He is guiding, if I will let him. I could have said, nah, I don't like the blue one today. How about the green one? Yeah, the green one, that's better. Well, then why did you ask me? You ever do that? Somebody got... Well, let's go to a movie. Okay, what do you want to go see? Well, how about this movie? No, I don't want to go see that. Well, let's go out to eat then. What do you want to go eat? Oh, how about Italian? No, I don't want Italian. How about Hungarian? No. How about Mexican? Nah, I don't feel like a Mexican. How about a pot pie from the freezer? Yeah, you know, you just kind of... Why are you asking me if you're not going to take the, you know, what? And that's the same thing with the Lord. If we ask the Lord, he's going to tell you. He said so. He said, ask and you shall receive. Ask for direction and he will guide you. He wants to do that. He's waiting to do that. It's not something that he's being coerced to. Well, Lord, if I gave $100, what's that going to get me as far as some information here? It's not a college that you have to pay money to get information from. This is free stuff. He wants to give it away. He wants to give the Holy Spirit to those who will ask. Not improperly. We see examples of those that have taken the Holy Spirit or tried to get the Holy Spirit improperly. And the Lord dealt with them accordingly. But for his purposes. Remember what Jesus said in his prayer. Not my will, but thine be done. I can't do your will with the resources that I have, Lord. I need your Holy Spirit. So fill me with your Spirit so that I may walk according to your ways, that I may do those things that you would have me to do. Lead me not into temptation. Pour out your Holy Spirit so that I would have right thoughts. You can tell that the Holy Spirit is not being utilized here because people aren't asking. Who needs to ask for the Holy Spirit? Hey, our leaders in this country need the Holy Spirit. That's who needs the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit so that we can be proper citizens. We can't be proper citizens without the Holy Spirit. Have you noticed on the news lately about the improper citizens that we have in our country? We have little cages that we put them in. They're called prisons. And this is what happens when the Holy Spirit is not ruling and reigning in people's lives. They don't do those things. Now, Christians, on the other hand, Christians have the ability to get the power of the Holy Spirit. But unfortunately, what I see on social media and things like that are believers that are just promoting hate. They're promoting ill will. They're promoting suspicion. You see, we have to be careful about that. Charity, or love, verse 4, suffereth long and is kind. I don't see much of that on the social media, so I'm sorry. Why do I even go on the social media? I don't know. I got to find out what my kids are doing, I guess. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. But where there is prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Let me paraphrase this for you, just so to get it to, so that the proper meaning comes out. When I was an unbeliever, I spake as an unbeliever. I understood as an unbeliever. I thought as an unbeliever. But when I became a believer, I put away unbelieving things. Makes more sense now? You see what I'm talking about here? When we are believers, we do the things that believers are supposed to do. How do we do that? We get into the Word and find out what the will of God is for our lives. What is the will of God for our lives? To love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Everything is devoted to the Lord. You see? We have the ability to do that. If you're not able to do that today, don't fret. That's fine. The Lord wants to bring you along. He really does want to prove himself to be strong in your life. But he will not, let me get this, you will not, he will not violate your free will. You can choose to do it your own way or his way. Okay? That's up to you. You can be as close to God as you want to be. And therefore, we see here. For we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. If you have love, you have everything. All of these other things are add-ons. But the greatest is love, because Jesus is love. He demonstrated perfect love. Let's go back to Timothy now. Now that we have under our belt the definitions, let's go back to 1 Timothy 19. Because it really lays right into what I'm trying to get here. And it says, "Against an elder receive not an accusation, but by two or three witnesses." Folks, today we are bombarded by people who take pot shots at people. They're in the world today, there is no restraints. Somebody doesn't like the way somebody looks, and man, they're on the social media with an unflattering picture or whatever, and they're taking pot shots, and there's no recourse for the person that's been damaged. None at all. And what all they're doing is they're not doing anything of value. All they're doing is putting doubt and suspicion in your mind. Understand this. They're sowing the seed of discourse. That doesn't matter. I don't care how much of a believer they claim to be. Their actions will tell you what they're about. Your actions will tell people what it is that you're into. Are you into the Lord? Your actions will dictate that. It's a simple matter. You will do what it is that you believe. Now he says here, two or three witnesses. You remember how judgment goes, right? In Deuteronomy 19, he talks about, he says, hey, if somebody comes at you with a single person comes at you with an accusation, don't even listen to them. Don't even want to hear about it. If there's two, then you prick up your ears and you say, okay, let's watch this. But if three are come together, look, there might be something to this. You need to look into it. And that's what he says here. Judgment is getting all sides of the situation. That's why Jesus can only do righteous judgment, because he knows the heart. He knows every angle of what was going on in that situation, and he's able to judge righteously. We can't. The more witnesses we get, what do we get? Okay, when you get two people in the room, you get three opinions. When you got three or more, you're going to get all kinds of different angles. But what you will do is you'll see that maybe the person that was seeing it through jaundiced eyes. And then the second person may have come alongside, oh, I saw that too. And you see, they're interpreting a situation without knowing really what's going on. So often, has anybody ever come up to you and say, well, why are you so sad today? And maybe you're not sad. Maybe you're looking intently at the ball game and your team is losing. Or maybe your team is winning and you're just going to, are you in pain? Are you okay? You see, they interpreted your facial expressions to a wrong conclusion. So if you have more and more witnesses, they're going to see things from different angles and be able to bring out the little truth that we can know. So two or three witnesses don't receive an accusation. But them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. You see, it's not that we are going to say, okay, Joe, you got to get up and I'm going to blast you because you've been sinning and I'm going to bring you before the congregation. No, that's not how it's done at all. You know, we go before people, okay? And if we hear something going on, we go one-on-one with them. And if we try to win them, we try to say, hey, what's the situation here? What's going on? And if it is a case of sin, then we encourage them to repent. And there's a process in Matthew 18 that goes, and if your brother won't hear you, then bring another brother and confront them and say, hey, here's the word. This is what you're doing. You're claiming yourself to be a Christian. And it's not because you want to take them out and have them stoned. It's because you want to restore the brother or sister. It's that's got to be the heart. If you don't have that heart, then stay clear and just pray that the Lord would give you the heart of restoration. Because, my friends, the Bible is just that. It is a book of redemption from Genesis to Revelation and how God has done everything to redeem fallen man. He has set up the stage. He has given us the provision. And he's done the work. And all we have to do is rest in him. And that's the way restoration works. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Now, did you catch the onus here? I mean, this guy is serious about this. It's like, man, I'm laying my hand on a stack of Bibles. This is what you need to follow. I say thee before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ. And he even throws in the angels in there. Okay, well, once you get to God, I mean, you've got it all. But, you know, I am serious. This is something that you need to do, and you need to do it without partiality. A lot of compromise that comes in churches today is that when pastors are preparing messages, they think about their congregation. He says, well, I don't really want to offend the big tithers because they might go somewhere else. So maybe I'll just gloss over this particular thing now. And that happens, folks. There are many, many churches in there that will, you know, they get to a particular part that just kind of pinches a little bit. They know somebody's maybe struggling with something. They, you know, maybe gloss over it and pray that I do not do that. That I give you the whole counsel of God. That's why I need your prayers. That I wouldn't just look out there and say, well, I don't want to offend so and so because, man, you know, they're heavy givers, you know. And if I do that, then my whole budget's going to be gone. And this is what things they think about. We have to give out the uncompromising word of God. I don't care if nobody in the fellowship ever comes and says, hey man, you know, I've been really been blessed by your ministry. But I want to hear from the Lord when I stand before him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I put you in a position and you faithfully gave them my counsel, my whole counsel. And that's what I called you for. Now, Jeremiah had zero converts in his ministry. He gave the word anyway. Did he get frustrated? You bet. Did he get, you know, he says, Lord, they're not listening to me. They threw me in a sewer. They kept me in a prison. And that's what the mire is sewage. But moving on. I'm not going to speak your word anymore. But then, after a while, he kept his mouth closed, but he found that his bones ached. There was a fire in him that he could not contain. And he said, I can't help but give forth your word. I said I would, and I had got to do it. And so you can pray for me that I do not compromise the word of God for any reason at all, whether it be political favor or whether it be monetary or whatever it is, so that I may not offend somebody. If you're not offended by the things that I'm saying, then you're getting the best sleep than you could possibly get. Because it's not that I'm purposely doing it, but if we're not offended, then maybe the Holy Spirit's not speaking to us. You see? The Bible has something to offend everybody. And if you haven't been offended by it, then you're not looking hard enough. Because we are sinners. There are things that we need to fall on our face before God. There are things that are unconfessed in our lives. There are things that we think about that we're indulging ourselves in that the Lord's been dealing with us, but we're shutting it out. The Holy Spirit through the Word of God, goes through, and he separates from soul and spirit. Between, you know, he wants us to walk a closer walk with him. And when surgery happens, it's usually painful. Usually we need to, we've been convicted, and we pray about it, and then, you know, it just really falls off. Kind of like a skin tag or something like that. You know, you ever have a skin tag? I had one on my neck the other day, and it just fell off. Not because I prayed about it, but because my collar's kind of ripped it off, I guess. I don't know. But it's that very same thing. The desires of our flesh fall away from us because we want to get closer to the Lord. Doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Now, the laying on of hands, you know, that has a connotation of ministry. If we look at Acts chapter 6, we see that, you know, hey, they got these deacons together and stuff like that, and they prayed over them and they laid hands on them. It was a sign of a commission. Okay, you lay your hands on somebody, some people laid their hands on it and they received the Holy Spirit. Others received gifts. Timothy received gifts. Remember, they had said before, he said, don't neglect the gift that had been given you by the laying on of my hands. You see? And it's not that we know what gift is going to be out there, but we, by faith, lay our hands on folks that are going out into the ministry, and the gifts reveal themselves in the manner of ministry that they go into. You see? We don't really know where we're going to be ending up because the Lord's going to lead us where he needs us. Philip was one. He was involved in this great revival where he was, and the Lord spoke to his heart and says, go out to Gaza, go out into the desert. So what am I supposed to do out there? And the Lord guided him every step of the way. It's the same with us. And it's the same. He says here, don't lay hands on suddenly on somebody to send them out. Get to know them first. Look them, check them out. See what their gifts are. See where the Lord's getting them. See, I don't believe that you really need to go to a seminary or, you know, even a Bible college. I mean, it's a good thing, but I think, you know, if I were going to be commissioning somebody to go out, I would just watch them and see what they're doing. What are you involved in? What are you doing? You want to get in the ministry? Okay, what are you doing? Let me see. If you're not doing anything, then you're not cut for the ministry. Some people are waiting for somebody to say, hey, go and serve. That's the wrong way to look at it. That's man commissioning you. What you need to do is have the Holy Spirit do it. And once the Holy Spirit lays it upon your heart to do, then go do. You want to have a prayer meeting? Have a prayer meeting because the Lord has put it on your heart. You want to open up a food pantry? Open up a food pantry because the Lord has laid it on your heart. I haven't started any of these things. I'm almost anti-program because I don't want people coming up to me saying, well, what should I do? You're going to the wrong person. I don't know. Go wash my car. Yeah, I don't know. Needs cleaning. Stay out of the center console there. There's change in there. That's what you'll get from me. But if you go before the Lord, he is going to put you where he wants you. He's going to make it so abundantly plain to you that you're going to say, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. And you won't be deterred that way. If you get out and you're in a ministry that some guy or gal had sent you out in, guess what? Well, so-and-so told me to go. Well, really, is that the will of God? Oh. You got to make sure that the Lord is calling you out to do that. Also, he says, don't be partaker of other men's sins. There are people in the church today, believe it or not, there are people of stature, people that people look up to, that do things that are contrary to what the Word of God says. Believe it or not. And this is where the bloggers come in, because they see that and they jump all over it. But what the Lord commands us to do is to keep the commandments in the forefront of our mind. Don't be partakers of them. I don't care what their names are or how big their churches are. If they're doing something contrary to the Word of God, don't partake in it. Don't go in it. Stay away from it because you know better. The Lord will look at you and says, look, you follow these. But these guys, they were such servants of yours and they were doing it. Not going to fly, folks. It's not going to fly. You do what the Word of God says. If you can't find in the Word of God to justify anything that you do, then you're walking in sin. You're walking after your own lusts. Okay? That is the way that we keep ourselves pure. And he goes on with a little more. To drink no longer water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Hey, giving him a little, you know, medicinal advice. You know, go take a couple of Tums for your upset stomach. You know, kind of a thing, you know. Now, a lot of people will say, you know, look, there's no law against drinking wine. If you want to drink alcohol, you can drink alcohol. I choose not to because of my position. I don't want to be filled with something other than the Spirit. That's plain and simple. That's my choice. Am I going to put that on you? The Bible doesn't say, hey, thou shalt not smoke. I didn't say, you want to smoke, you go ahead and smoke. Not in here, but see, I smoked. But it wasn't until the Lord put it on my heart that I should quit that it had an effect that I wanted to quit. You see? And that's it. The Lord will lead you to do the things that he wants you to do. Now, some people, God bless them, they come to the Lord and man, all of the habits that they had, man, they're just flying off of them. I hate those people. That's right. That's right. And I'm repenting, baby, right now. I hate them. Sorry. Because I'm not one of them. It didn't happen so easy for me. There was a friend of mine. We got saved right around the same time. But man, it was just like the shackles were thrown off. He stopped drinking, stopped smoking, stopped womenizing, stopped all of this stuff. And where'd you get this at? How come I don't have this same thing? How come I? Because we're different people. I had to be shown more grace than he did. Okay? There was a different path for me to go. That's why the Lord says, don't judge people before the time. Everybody is moving along at a little bit different pace. That's where we show grace one to another. We're not going to stick a bony finger in the, you need to stop smoking. By gum, it's bad for your health. Well, yeah, that's true. But until the Lord takes it away, it's kind of wasting your breath, aren't you? If you want to put your breath to good use, then pray for that person. Pray that the effects of these things, if you live downriver, guess what, folks? Breathing everything in that mill and that refinery down the street is spewing out to you. Don't even get me started on the deep well that they have over by the airport. But I'll let you figure that one out for yourself. This world is not our home. Understand that. It's not our home. We look for a city whose builder and maker is God. That's what we look for. And if that's not what you're looking for, then you need to revamp your thinking. We have been promised eternal life when we came to know Jesus Christ. That's eternal life, knowing Jesus Christ. So when are we going to get eternal life? We are living eternal life now. He that believeth in me shall never die. And he that has died and believes in me will live forever. They've just moved. They've transitioned from this world into the next. That's why I say Jesus is coming back soon. Be looking for him. It could happen at any moment for any of us. Some maybe sooner than others, praise God. The rest of us that have to suffer through this life, man. And every time I look at the news, it's just more and more. Lord, come soon. Come quickly, but not before I'm done. Not before I'm done. You know, I don't want to be so heavenly minded that I'm no earthly good. I want to be in the center of your will. Yeah, that's my goal. To stand before the Lord and hear his words. But in the meantime, I'm here. And I want to do everything that he wants me to do. There's so much to do. He doesn't want me to do everything, but some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men, they follow after. In other words, some people, they don't even care. They let it all hang out there. Their lifestyle is going to be whatever it is. If you don't like it, too bad. But there are others that make a good show of hiding it. A lot of people can hide their sins and make themselves look good, but it doesn't matter. When they stand before the Lord, that's where it's going to be. It's all going to be brought out. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Hey, everybody knows the good works, but there are some, man, there are people, you know, those poor widows or whatever, they're in their closets and they're praying and nobody will ever know because they don't broadcast it. But your lifestyle is your witness. It's going to tell people what you believe. If you believe this building is on fire, you're going to be moving toward the door. That's a sign that you believe that the building is on fire. Simple. Simple stuff. If you claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ, your life is going to show it. He has given you the power to become the sons of God. So let's walk in it. Let's show this world what a believer in Jesus Christ looks like. Not because of our unctions, not because of our, we know this, I know this is what I'm supposed to do. And I got that feeling, I want to do that. Forget that. Remember what we saw? No good. It's got to be done by the Spirit. And the only way to get the Spirit is to go before the Lord and ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. The Spirit will be poured out to you because He wants to give. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we do just pray right now that You would just fill us all with this Holy Spirit. With Your Holy Spirit, Lord, we can move. We can have faith. We can prophesy. And we can walk in love, which is the greatest of all. I pray, Father, that we would reflect our relationship with Jesus Christ each and every moment of every day. Lord, that we would be witnesses for You, and those that would ask for the hope that lies within us, Lord, that You would even give us the words to speak. We love You, Father, and we thank You, and we give honor and glory to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's please stand.